Hey there, how are you doing? I hope you're keeping well and hope things are going good there with you. Welcome to episode 57 of the Microgreens Entrepreneur Podcast. Great to have you here and thanks a million for tuning in. In this episode, we're going to talk about blazing your own trail and dealing with competition through creation. So maybe you've got competition in your current microgreens business, or maybe there's already somebody selling microgreens in your area and that might be hampering your decision on whether or not to get started. We're going to look into all of that and what you can then do about it. So stay tuned for all of that. Before we get started, I want to just take a minute to talk about Trueleaf Market. Trueleaf Market are the go-to microgreen seeds and equipment company all across the United States and Canada. And all of their seeds, they're all tested to make sure that they have a high germination rate. Some companies have seed that sits in stock for long periods of time. And over time, seed gets old and it loses its viability. Trueleaf Market turns over their inventory so frequently that their seeds are always as new and as fresh as you're going to get. And that in turn is going to help you have more successful grows and make more money. So for a really great selection of microgreen seeds and equipment, head on over to microgreensentrepreneur.com/Trueleaf Market. I'm an affiliate for Trueleaf Market and I'm really happy to promote them because I really do believe that they provide a great service to the microgreens community. If you go ahead and use my link to go to their website and then you go ahead and make a purchase, I get a small commission from that sale. This is at no extra cost to you and it's one of the ways that you can help support the making of this podcast if you enjoy it and supporting it is something that you want to do. So microgreensentrepreneur.com/Trueleaf Market, or there will be a link for that in the show notes that you can just click on. You're listening to the Microgreens Entrepreneur Podcast, where the aim is to help you start, grow and improve any microgreens business. I'm your host, Brian Faulkner, owner of a microgreens business that I operate out of my own home. Stay tuned and welcome along. So here we are at the end of March 2021. Hope things are getting a bit back to normal there for you, wherever you are. I know some parts of the world are making more progress than others. We're moving pretty slow here in Ireland. We've pretty much been in a lockdown all the way since Christmas, so it's going really slow, but sure, we just have to get on with things, I suppose. But anyway, welcome along and thanks again for being here. It's just me and you here today, so I suppose the podcast has been fairly interview heavy since the start of the year, really, and hope you enjoyed the interviews and learned from all the great people that have been on here. I know I personally really enjoy doing the interviews. It's great to get other people's perspectives and insights on things. But you're stuck with just me today for this episode. Before I really get going, I want to thank the person who's left the latest Apple Podcast review. And it's somebody called Schnapp2417 from the United States. And they say that I don't think I would have continued with microgreens if I didn't get hooked on your podcast. So that's amazing to hear. So thanks a million for that, Schnapp, or whatever your real name is. I'm not sure exactly what it is. That's what it says under the review, but thanks a million anyway. If you'd like a little shout out like this on a future episode of the podcast, all you have to do is head to Apple Podcasts and leave a review, preferably a good one if you're enjoying the podcast, but I leave that up to you. So anyway, let's keep going. And today I want to talk about creation and competition and doing different things and being creative to deal with competition if you have to do that, and how all of this ties in with a microgreens business. So I came up with the content for this episode after I got thinking about this topic after listening back to the interview with John Cleveland there a couple of weeks ago. And then would you believe I've been really enjoying learning about economics of all things lately. Maybe it's because of all the crazy things that are going on in the world at the moment, or maybe it's just a sign that I'm getting older that things like economics are becoming fascinating to me. I seem to be getting interested in all the things that I wasn't interested in school and things that I gave up in school. So here in Ireland, when you're in secondary school, and secondary school here in Ireland would be the equivalent of high school in America, say, when you get to your second last year in secondary school, you get to make a choice on the subjects that you study. And I gave up some of the subjects like business studies and things like that that I had been doing up to that point. I gave them up and I picked the subjects that I thought were going to give me the easiest ride through the rest of school. Because when I was back in school, all I wanted to do was be a professional golfer on the golf tour. And obviously I wasn't going to need to know about business or any of that stuff when I was going to be going out on the tour. And subjects like that, I just really had no interest in doing them at the time. But as it turned out, I didn't make the tour. I ended up working as a greenkeeper, studying greenkeeping and horticulture. And now a little bit later on in life, I'm getting really interested in all these subjects again. But anyway, I've been learning about economics mainly through a podcast, and it's the David McWilliams podcast is called. So it's a guy here from Ireland that runs this podcast, and it's really interesting. And it might be a little bit Ireland specific if you're not from Ireland, but it's really good anyway. I'm a big podcast fan myself. I listen to them to learn about whatever I'm interested in at that time. So between podcasts and audiobooks, that's how I'm always learning different things, or how I'm hearing about what I'm interested in. And it's probably how you are too if you're listening to this podcast. I'm also really interested then in how the way that we think about things can have big effects on our lives. So I read or listen to a lot of stuff about that as well. And the reason I'm telling you all this is that I want to try and tie all of this stuff together and relate it to how to manage competition or competitors of your microgreens business or potential microgreens business. So to start off first, I want to talk about creation and being creative. And you might say, what has that got to do with a microgreens business? But just hear me out for a second. For me personally, if someone had asked me a few years ago, was I creative? I would have definitely said no for sure, because back then I just thought being creative meant being an artist or something like that. But it's so much more than that. So if you have a microgreens business, or even if you're just growing microgreens for fun, you're being creative. So you're creating something that wasn't here on this earth before. So you're getting all the seeds, you're getting the soil, the trays, the water, etc., etc. You're putting all that together and you're creating something brand new that didn't exist before. So that in itself is pretty cool. But if you're doing this as a business, so growing and selling microgreens as a business, you're creating and generating money. And that's what we all want, right? So how the world really works is that to get money, you need to create something to sell, or sell something you've already created, or sell your service. So when I say sell your service, I mean working in your job. There's lots of other ways to make money too, by investing and all that stuff. But these are really the main ways for us everyday people to make money. But when you're creating something to sell and you sell it, you can literally be creating money. Now, this might sound a little bit ludicrous, but money is created out of thin air. So maybe you might have known this already, but I didn't up until a few months ago. And that's how money is created, or most money is created. It's created by banks on the back of an asset. So let's say, for example, I go and apply for a mortgage with the bank. I'm looking for 250 grand. I'm buying a nice 3-bedroom house, right? I've done everything right. I've got all my checks in order. I've got all no bad credit. All those gambling debts were years ago. So that's not going to disrupt me. I get the loan. And when I draw down the loan, the bank just writes those numbers into my account. So they create the money out of thin air under the presumption that I'm going to repay them that 250 grand and all the interest over time. Maybe I'm not as learned as everybody else, but I didn't know that up till a few months ago. I was under the presumption that money being given out for loans and mortgages was taken from deposits in the bank and loaned out. But no, the money is just created out of thin air. And it's almost the same for credit cards as well. So let's say if someone was to buy some microgreens off you and they pay with their credit card. The person's credit card company pays you for the microgreens. The credit card company then, they've borrowed that money from a bank at a lower interest rate than the credit card company is charging you. So they're charging you a higher interest rate, and that's how they're making money. And then the bank that has lent to the credit card company, they've created that money out of thin air, just like they did with my mortgage, under the presumption that the person buying the microgreens from you is going to generate some money and pay their credit card bill. And how is that person going to generate the money? They're going to do it by selling their service through their job, or by selling goods already created, or creating goods to sell. So by growing and selling microgreens, you can literally be creating money. And the more microgreens you're able to create and sell, the more money that'll be. So there's that old saying that money doesn't grow on trees that we always used to hear from people when we were younger. And it might not grow on trees, but it can grow in these trays that we're sowing. That's a very, very basic understanding of money creation. And there's a lot more to it than that, I'm sure. There's a really good video on YouTube that explains all of that way better than I ever could. It's about the history of money, and I'll leave a link for that in the show notes if that's something that you're interested in and you want to look into a little bit more. So that'll be there. So anyway, you might be saying that's all well and good that microgreens, they can be a great way of making money, and you can basically grow money out of the ground or whatever. But what if there's already somebody doing it where I live, you might be thinking? Or what if you've got competition? This is where blazing your own trail and being creative comes into it. And look, before I go any further, this is all just my opinion, so you can take it or leave it, and at the end of the day, do whatever is right for you. So what I would say first, if someone is already growing and selling microgreens in your area, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It means that there's a market there, so people or businesses in your area, they're interested in buying microgreens. So that can actually be looked at as a good thing. The second thing I'd say then is to research the other business. So see what varieties they're selling, see what their customer base is, all of that stuff. And then go and do something different, blaze your own trail. So what I mean by that is, don't just copy exactly what they're growing, bang a label on it and target their exact same customers and offer a lower price. That might seem like the easiest thing to do, and you might get some business like this, but it's really a race to the bottom from there. Yeah, so don't just go and sell the exact same varieties at a lower price. Do something different. And yeah, like we already said, blaze your own trail. Because if you don't do this and you just kind of copy what's already being done, they'll become a commodity. And I'll go back to my little bit of economics learning here, and we'll have a look at what a commodity is. And I appreciate that many of you know what a commodity is, but if you're like me and you didn't know or you don't know, an example of a commodity would be wheat. So for the most part, wheat is wheat. And if you're going to buy wheat, you're generally going to buy the cheapest wheat on offer, regardless of what brand it is, because it's all the same thing at the end of the day, really. So why would you pay any more than you have to for it? You're most likely going to pick the cheapest wheat there is. So let's say then you see your competition and you go and offer the exact same varieties to the exact same people as your competitor for a cheaper price. Yeah, maybe you'll get some business. Then maybe your competitor lowers their price to keep up with you. You have to lower yours again. Then they lower theirs again. Then you lower yours again. And so on until you're at the bottom, and that's where the product is being sold for the very minimum profit that's available. And it's a commodity then, because nothing differentiates the two products really, and that's not going to be very profitable for either side then. That's obviously going under the presumption that they're both very good similar products. If your competitor is a big distributor, and look, just with some big distributors, their quality isn't up to scratch a lot of the time, because with a distributor, there's more time involved. So the person is growing them, then they have to go and get transported to this distributor. Maybe they're sitting in the distributor's warehouse or whatever for a day or two, and then they have to travel to the end user then. And that's going to have an impact on their shelf life, the way they look. Maybe the grower that the distributor is getting the microgreens from, they might be doing it at a massive scale, using some machines, and just the whole quality won't be as good as it would be from a local microgreens grower. So if that's the case, then you have an opportunity to offer the same products they're selling. And your unique selling point is the fact that yours are always higher in quality. Because if you're listening to this, you're most likely going to be growing for your local community, doing everything by hand, and distributing microgreens pretty much straight after they're being harvested. So the quality of them will be high. I might have went a bit doom and gloomy there with that, so turning microgreens into a commodity. But the good news here is that there's loads of different ways that you can differentiate yourself and make your business different and offer different things. And it comes back to being creative and blazing your own trail. So just to use my own experience as an example on this for a second. When I started, there was two other people selling microgreens in my area already, so I wasn't the first to market here. What I done differently though was I offered different varieties that the other people weren't offering. And through that then, I got some business in restaurants, and one of those restaurants, one of the other people was already selling to that restaurant. I didn't take away that other person's business at the time. The chef just ordered more different stuff from me. Then I got some business in restaurants that they weren't selling to, and some business in other restaurants that were using a distributor, and they changed over to me. So I was looking in different avenues. One of the shops that my microgreens are stocked in right now, they're side by side by one of these other person's products, and both products sell well. And mine is different to my competitors because we only overlap with one variety that we both sell. The rest are all different. My packaging is compostable, theirs isn't. And I was able to get my business certified organic last year, so my microgreens can be branded as organic. So all of that then makes our products both different. The other person that I'm side by side in that shop then, their label on their box is really cool, and I think it's hand drawn by their kids or something like that. But it's nice and colourful, and it definitely shows that the product is homegrown. So that obviously speaks to some people too. So there's really no end of ways that you can differentiate yourself. It's about getting creative and looking at what's already out there and being different to that. So some of the ways you can be different is, number one, you can look at the varieties that the other people are selling and see is there an opportunity to sell different varieties. Or think about making some mixes, so different mixes of microgreens in a box. If you listen to that interview with John Cleveland 2 episodes ago, his whole business is based around one specific mix. But it's different to what other people are doing and he's having success with that. And with a mix, there's really no right or wrong mix. So you can try different things. Try putting different varieties in together. See how they look together. See how they taste. And then see how they sell. Along with that then, you can make your product different by having a different type of packaging. So like I said, I offered a compostable package. So maybe that's something that you can do differently. Or offer a different pack size. So maybe offer a bigger pack or a smaller pack. Things like this make your label stand out then as well. Then another way to be different than your competitor is to focus on a different market that they're focused on. Unless you're in a really, really small town, it's unlikely that one person has every corner of the market taken up. Because there's lots of different avenues you have to sell your microgreens. So you've got the traditional selling to restaurants. You've got selling through supermarkets or grocery stores. You've got a home delivery program where you're selling direct to consumer. You've got farmers markets. Then you've got a CSA program where you're putting your microgreens in with another local farmer's produce and they're delivering them out to their customers. A few episodes ago there, the guys from Legacy Greens were on and they had just started to sell their microgreens to retirement homes and the microgreens were being used in the cooking there in the retirement homes. So there's lots and lots of different places to sell the microgreens. I might have even left something out here. And what you can also do then is advertise. So social media now, it makes advertising to people really, really easy. And easy to target the right people or businesses that you want to target. So there's options there too. Another thing that can make you stand out and be different as well is offer really good customer service. Because in a lot of industries now, that's just not there anymore. And when people come across good customer service, they really do appreciate it. So that's really something to think about as well. I'm probably missing some stuff or ways here, but there's so many possibilities and so many people and businesses there to market to that we shouldn't be even worried about competition. So some other people that you might be listening to or you might have heard talking about business before, you might have heard them talking about crushing your competition. I hear that mentioned a lot and it's not really something I buy into, to be honest, because I don't think you need to crush your competition. You just need to be different. And if you're focused on crushing your competition, you're kind of adopting the mentality that there isn't enough to go around, that there's limited people or limited businesses or a limited amount of product that businesses would want to buy. This is human nature though, and don't get me wrong, I definitely get these thoughts of lack as well sometimes. But I think a lot of the time we create these limits for ourselves that aren't real, and they're only as real as we believe them to be real. And with microgreens, no one really knows the limits on it because it's still so new. So selling these to people to eat, that really only started in the last decade or so, or maybe even less. There's a really good book out there. It's short and it's to the point and it's called The Science of Getting Rich. The title sounds a bit selfish, or maybe selfish is not the right word. There's probably a better way to describe it, but riches, they're not just money. So your health, your wealth, your relationships and many other things along with money, that's what make you rich. Anyway, this book, it makes sense to me because basically it's about the fact that us as humans, what we think about most and what we believe to be true is the world that we create for ourselves. And one of the things that's talked about in this book is that if we have this mindset that it's a competition and we have to beat our competition, that if we take that mindset, we believe that there isn't enough or that there's a limited amount because we need to beat the competition to get it. So anyway, this book, it has helped me to try and get rid of this competitive attitude that there isn't enough for everybody, that we have to beat our competitors to get something. I've by no means perfected this way of thinking and I still find myself with some thoughts like this sometimes, but I really do believe that there's plenty enough opportunity out there for all of us. Because if money can just be created out of thin air, is there really a limit on what's possible? So look, to sum this episode up, if competition is something you're dealing with in your current business, or it's something that's blocking you from getting started with a microgreens business, it's time to get creative, blaze your own trail, start thinking about how you can be different, and then remember that the limit on things like the amount that you're going to be able to sell, they're not known. So don't limit yourself with your thoughts. Try your best to think abundantly and don't try and crush your competition, because there's enough for them too. There's so much opportunity out there. If starting a microgreens business is something that you've been thinking about and something that you want to have a go of, I have a free ebook for you. It's a beginner's guide to starting a microgreens business, and it goes over all of the first steps that you need to take to get your microgreens business up and running and making your first sales. To get that, head over to microgreensentrepreneur.com/ebook, and I'll leave a link for that in the show notes as well. So that's all for this week. Hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'll talk to you on next week's episode. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. If you'd like to support the making of the podcast, purchasing your supplies from True Leaf Market through my affiliate link is one of the ways that you can do that. Head on over to microgreensentrepreneur.com/True Leaf Market, or click the link in the show notes when you're going to make a purchase at True Leaf Market. And both of these links will bring you directly to True Leaf Market's website. This is at no extra cost to you, and it keeps resources like this podcast free. So thank you so much for the support.